welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about Devil's Night, which is not Halloween. It's different. Stop telling me it's Halloween. That's for babies. This is for big adults. Like the Devil's Night.
Yeah, the really scary stuff where you throw toilet paper on people's houses and shaving cream and stuff. Do they even do that anymore? I don't know.
And I'm joined by Slowey from Miss Shadow Lovely. Hey. This episode does one of our historically favorite things on this here podcast, which is bringing real people who have real histories and did terrible things and making them like funny little characters and trying to give like funny little guy redeems to Jeffrey Dahmer. Things of this nature.
This is like maybe like the pinnacle of this show doing it, because they do it with like a lot of people this episode. They're like, you thought Manson was bad and Colt? Great news. Great news.
They even sneak one in that I wasn't aware of, like, earlier in the episode, which we'll get into. But, like, you know, thank you, Amazon X-Ray, for teaching me about this. But, like, why do they keep doing this? They just keep doing it. It sucks.
Okay, I have a theory. I think I note it in the notes somewhere later, but I'm fine saying it now. I think what happened was Ryan Murphy has always, I think, wanted to do true crime.
Yeah.
And they didn't let him do it until, like, more recently. Like, I would say, like, when his Netflix specials started coming out.
Yeah.
I think that is bleeding into his fiction. He got stuck doing fiction, and he's like, well, if they won't let me make documentaries about these real serial killers, I'm just going to make them characters in my show. And then eventually they did let him make quote-unquote docu-series about said serial killers, and he did a dog-ass job at that, and did the opposite, where he made real people like fictional characters in those. So Ryan Murphy's not like good at doing true crime, but it's clear that that's what he wanted to do.
Let me shorten what you just said, because I think it also applies. Ryan Murphy is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
So true. But yeah, this episode specifically is one that I think that we being Beef and I have alluded to in several of our other seasons, because we're like, oh, just wait until this thing happens in season
this
5.
Yeah.
And it's this.
This sucks. This is probably one of my big candidates for least favorite episode of the whole series. Like, this just is awful. I hate it.
Like, I think the thing that's like really a kicker about it too is it's doing this thing that we all justifiably and correctly hate. If you disagree, too bad.
Right.
Get better, I guess.
Skill issue.
But like, yeah, it sucks, man. I'm sorry. It sucks. But like, they also make almost no story progress whatsoever. Like, one, I think, pivotal thing happens, and they really drop the ball on explaining why it happens. They leave out a bunch of steps between this person being like, vampire time, and being like, yeah, okay, I'm, yeah, do me. Do me, Lady Gaga, I'm ready. Make me go blood mode. There's, like, not a lot of selling that happens. It's wild how little they accomplish. There's this big cavalcade of characters that have no relevance to anything other than being like, this is how bad James Marsh is. He's like worse than regular bad. He's like the man who teaches bad.
He's the Professor Xavier of serial killers or whatever. This is his X-Men Academy. It's really funny. We'll get to that eventually. We probably won't even get to it today because God help me, there's so much in this episode. But like the implication will be that like what we're about to see is like the Avengers Endgame of serial killers. Like that's really what they want this
God,
to be.
That is, yeah.
They want it to be that so bad. But then the ones that they picked are like not the ones you'd want on the Avengers. You got the real Hawkeyes of the Avengers here.
When the one guy goes like, is that enough? Is that not enough of us? Then Captain America's like, yeah, actually it's not. There's like three people. I don't know.
You know, yeah, like there's the three D-list people here. And two of us don't even have superpowers. So I don't, we might need a few more people to beat Thanos actually. And I could have looked it up, but I didn't think about it. This probably came out around the time that at least one Avengers movie came out, so that could have actually probably influenced this if we're being honest.
Honestly, if they wanted to make me scared of James March, they should have just had him put on a big gold gauntlet with a bunch of gems in it, and I'd be like, oh fuck,
and snap his fingers.
Oh shit, he's serious, he's got the gems.
But yeah, as aforementioned, this is not a Halloween episode, it's a Devil's Night episode, which will be very confusing because later there will be people trick-or-treating and saying happy Halloween, even though that's not, that you don't do that on not Halloween.
Yep. And also there's like Halloween stuff that happens, you know, too.
There's even
a Halloween flash. That's what annoys me, because they're doing this specifically, right, to be different, because it's like, I know we usually have a Halloween episode, this one's different. Well, here's a flashback to a previous Halloween later. And it's like, no, commit to the bit or don't, you fuckers. Like, come on.
But also, like, I didn't make a note about this, but I'm just want to get it out of my brain. It does also directly contradict their already pre-established ghost rules, which they established in another season and then another season after that of, ghosts can only come out on Halloween. So I guess if you're specifically a serial killer ghost, you get to go out on the day before. They don't want you hanging out with Gen Pop ghosts.
You unlock the overtime bonus? That's crazy.
I think it's working. It's working off its 5 o'clock somewhere rules, I guess, but it's so stupid. It starts off, I guess, should we get into it?
It's Devil's Night, baby, the day before Halloween. It's time to show up in the Hotel Cortez, and we've got some little fucking nasty man bouncing around in a leather jacket with shades on, trying to, he's really putting a bisexual sitting in a chair funny energy out as he's bouncing around the room, I gotta say.
Yeah, they try to make Richard Ramirez cool, and I without giving too many spoilers, I have to say they also bring Richard Ramirez in as a character in another season. And in that season, they decided that they didn't make him quote unquote cool enough in this season with his leather jacket and sunglasses he won't take off. They make him quote unquote cooler in that season, which is insane.
It is.
Does he have like two sets of shades on?
It's what? It's so much worse than that.
They
make him slutty,
Ty. They make him slutty. They make Richard Ramirez slutty.
Ramirez is serving.
If they did the Johnny Cage thing where his glasses break and he pulled out a second pair, that actually would have been legitimately better than what they do in future seasons, and frankly, in this one. So. He goes up to the desk, and Liz Taylor's there, and he's just like, I have a standing reservation, which is called a reservation, by the way. I think he means like a yearly recurring one or something, which there isn't really a name for, but whatever. And she's like, oh, it's your second time? He's like, third, actually. I died in 2013. You know, which is like, all right, we're already playing our hand here. For anyone, by the way, who doesn't know at home, Richard Ramirez is a real life serial killer. Like we said, I think he's known as the Night Stalker. He like strangled people in L.A.
He was stinky.
A terrible guy. We don't have to get into that. But just so you know, it is a real person. Just again, but like, so Liz is showing him to his room, right? And just as they're having this conversation, and then he's like, no need for a room key, though, which then I'm like, why did he need to be shown up then? Because then, she said, like, the master left you a couple treats in your room, which I guess is supposed to be like mints on your pillow, but, you know, you already know he's going to kill people. Like, it's totally, the hand's played, you know, like, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, And then he like,
me, a properly nouned named ghost. God, I'm here to do spooky shit on Devil's Night. You feel me?
Right.
And it's like, yeah, he's gonna kill somebody, man. Like, what else could he fucking be here to do?
Yeah.
I hope you don't get victimized by room service. Like, no, it's not subtle, Elvira. It doesn't work. Like.
Yeah, and they do. This is the first of what will be many. Sorry, I'm about to be, for the rest of this episode and our next episode, I'm about to be the white woman who loves true crime. Even though I don't love true crime, I just know a lot about it.
Yes.
It's just something I have absorbed through the years.
Glad to have a subject matter expert on board.
So this is the first of several times they're going to do this with the Avengers assembled cast that they have gotten of serial killers they have decided are characters in the show. Which is, they Googled this guy and, like, went to the Wikipedia about him and picked one thing and was like, oh, that's gotta have been his thing. That was definitely his thing. And for Richard Ramirez, it is, for some fucking reason, that he has to go through windows. And so here's my tinfoil hat theory. And it's not really tinfoil hat theory, because the theory, genuinely boils down to they couldn't be bothered to check if they were right. A lot of people conflate Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, and Richard Chase, another serial killer who was like kind of active around the same time, I think. Richard Chase did what I would consider to be vampire shit, and he was called like this whatever vampire, where he would not go into houses where the doors were locked. Because he would interpret that as not being welcome inside. He played by literal, like, vampire rules because he was crazy. Richard Ramirez didn't do that. He just sometimes, if he couldn't get in the house, would go through a window, because that's what you do when you're breaking and entering, is you go through windows sometimes. But a lot of people conflate those two things. They think Richard Ramirez was the locked door guy. It's just kind of a game of telephone that has happened over the years.
Yeah.
But if they would have just Googled, if they were so dead set on doing this Avengers cast, if they were so dead set on this, the vampire guy would have made way more sense for this season. They should have gone to that guy. He would have fit in great,
I think. One beer's all over. Yeah.
But then again, that would have drawn attention to the fact that they're vampires that actually do exist in the show are really shitty and don't play by vampire rules. That's why.
It would kind of match better, though, too, with that motif. But yeah, you're right. It's just a mess no matter how you do it. I don't know.
It's just such a funny...
No, because then Lady Gaga could pop out and be like, I love your interpretation of my work.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's one of those things, though, because they're going to do it to, like, almost each of the characters are going to... Some of them they do, quote-unquote, better than the others, but they are going to, like, pick one particular thing that most people kind of know about a specific serial killer, and they're going to get it wrong in a way that makes that character unintentionally very funny, because the thought that Richard Ramirez... is such a dickhole that, like, he's like, front door? Not for me, thank you. And then he leaves the building to go back outside so he can come in through the window is an insanely funny bit. And, like, I know they're not trying to be funny, but making that, like, a character trait that guy's gotta do, super funny. They do something really funny for the Zodiac Killer later that I think is a hilarious thing to attribute to a character that doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
It's so good. It's so good.
The thing that, and this is like just nitpicky crap, but it's also like he refuses a room key, breaks into the room, but he's gonna need it later. You don't just use your room key once. You need it for the whole stay. I know it's stupid, but it all bugs me. I'm in a hotel now, so I'm the subject matter expert on that. Okay, but
I'll be real. At first, I thought he was like, I don't need a room key. I'm like, yeah, because he's a ghost. And then he went through the window, and I was like, well, that's fucking stupid. He's a ghost.
Won't be needing these, I say as I throw my room key out the window.
I hate this guy. What a piece of shit. I don't even know what he did as a serial killer. I just think he sucks.
And he always has the sunglasses on. Again, I cannot emphasize enough that they try to make Richard Ramirez cool. And, like, again, if you know anything about true crime, the first and most, like, defining feature of Richard Ramirez, and I am not making this up, is that he smelled so bad, he was so stinky, that that is what people, like, remember about him. They're like, oh,
the
yeah, he,
box killer,
yeah, he's also yeah. like a serial killer or whatever, and like a sexual assaulter, but that dude fucking stinky, like nasty stinky boy, real stinky, and like also Satan stuff, like he did Satan stuff, but like stinky. They should have leaned
oh, yeah,
into that.
I almost forgot. They have him like throw his palms out and he's got a little pentagram tattoo, and it's just like, you getting ready to shoot a beam out of that, champ? Like, what are you doing?
My Hail Satan beam.
Yeah, you gonna get like a little brimstone Hadouken out? What are you doing?
Yep. So there's two people in there. Oh, sorry, go ahead, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, he goes through the window, and then he just like picks up a lamp off the desk and is like, yeah, that's good enough. And this, like, kills a guy, which I gotta be honest here, for a bunch of serial killers that are being praised as, like, best in the business, great at their craft, really boring kills across the board, real ho-hum shit, I gotta be honest. Just bonks him in the head with a lamp and is like, yeah, that'll do.
His wife sleeps through it, too. Like, the guy gets his head crushed by a lamp, like, bad, and his wife, who is maybe a half an inch away, is like, love sleeping in my bed next to my husband as he gets loudly bludgeoned to death with a lamp.
Like, blood splatters on her and she's like, ugh, did you come on the back of my head again? I told you not to do that. And she rolls over and is like, oh my God. Oh, it's so fucking stupid. And then, yeah, Richard or whatever throws his hand over the wife's mouth and is like, swear to Satan you won't yell or I'm gonna pee. And she's like, okay, I swear to Satan. And then he's like, okay, great. And then she looks over at her husband's fucking exploded dome and yells, and he's like, you fell for my trap, now I get to hit you.
Yeah.
Like, it's really stupid. It's like a really dumb set. Like, you can't just be like, you looked and screamed, so I earned this. Like, come on.
And yeah, she makes it out of the room. Like, what are you doing? You're just letting her go? Okay. Like, what? So she's running through the hall screaming and going for the elevator, and James marches there, and she's like, help, and help, there's a killer after me. And he's like, and a killer before you. And then he grabs her, and he's like, Ricky! Like, Ricky? We're doing that? But okay.
I hate how funny they make James March.
That line is really good. I legitimately let out a laugh when he's like, and a killer before you. I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Look, this gotcha. MF-er is one step away from just being like, the prestige.
And then, and he's like, ah, this couple's from Arizona. Marriott was full. And it's like, well, how do you know the Marriott was full? But what? Who cares? You know, like, all right.
He was checking, like, Ticketmaster or whatever. Whatever the booking website is for hotels in the area.
Yeah, exactly. and then, he doesn't work front desk. He wouldn't know that they said it, you know, but whatever. So, title, you know, he's like, Ricky, finish her off. And then it's the title card, basically. All right, now, so after the title sequence, John is like in his hotel room and calls the daughter, his daughter calls her, and he's like, hey, baby, how was Disneyland? It was cool. And then that's it. Like, which, like,
yeah, you- I was gonna say, Slobby, as a father to a daughter, how would you give on a scale of 1 to 10? How realistic of a conversation is this?
Because, well, the thing is that you would never even start this if you're writing a horror script, because this is at least a 10-minute conversation of like, and this ride was good, and this was like the, you know what I mean? It's like, it's fucking Disneyland, like, there's shit to do, you don't just go, yeah, it was cool anyway.
We had a big churro. How big? Really big.
Realistically, it's like your mom spent $1,000 going to Disneyland for the day, and it's just cool, you know.
Also,
but
why?
All right.
Like, and how? How and why? Because Alex, like, the last time we saw Alex, her mother, Alex had just seen Holden. So for all we know, she's not left the hotel, because why would Alex have left the hotel without Holden?
Well, it's funny because we're going to find out a little about that. But you're right, because the only logical thing is that she goes to the hotel, sees Holden's like, oh, shit, wait, though, I can't address this now. I told Scarlett I'd take her to Disneyland. You ain't here,
kid.
Holden. Go
the
home.
Kid I
go
hate.
To Disneyland. And then...
Yeah, I got to take your sister to Disneyland. I'll be back in, like, a day. It's not clear how long this is, because, like, the way that John is going to talk about it is, like, it's the next day, which is why I'm like, when did you have time to go to Disneyland, and why did you go to Disneyland? There's some things that, like, even if you had planned a Disneyland trip, there's things that kind of override that, like illnesses, like family tragedies. I would put... child got nearly abducted and was missing from
divorce.
Home for like a week. I'd put that pretty high on the list. Just saw my vampire kid at the hotel that my husband just got served divorce papers at. That's also pretty high, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, actually.
I've never been divorced.
What a jerk. She's like, here's your divorce papers. I'm taking the kid to Disneyland.
Just in case there was any chance you were going to win the proceedings. No shot, idiot. We're going to Disneyland.
I don't even want this kid, and I'm still going to make sure I get custody of her.
Yeah, I forgot. She's like, I hate this one. Anyway, we're going to Disneyland.
It's more for me than her, if we're being honest, but what fucking ever. Yeah, I hate it, all of you, so.
Yeah, Alex wanted to go to Disneyland, and she's like, I guess I'll take my shitty daughter or whatever.
Oh my god. And then
after this very short conversation, there's a discussion of Scarlett reasonably being like, I don't want a trick or treat. Last time I went up to a random house, there were dead men inside of it. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's like fair.
Right.
Yeah, like completely reasonable. And John even is just kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. I probably wouldn't either. Then hangs up and sees, oh no, there's a little spot of blood on his big conspiracy board. And then he looks up and there's like a gallon.
Tons of blood.
Of blood. Like 2 gallons of blood. Like, it's like a crazy amount of blood.
And then,
coming
through the ceiling.
So then we cut to the source of the blood, which is the maid, Miss Evers, we find out her name is. And she's like cleaning like sheets in a bathtub for some reason in a hotel room, which like I'm not good at getting blood out of sheets, but I'm imagining this is not the best way to do it if you work at a hotel, but whatever. And then she decides to reminisce about a Halloween gone by, even though it's a Devil's Night episode, but whatever. And we get it in black and white, you know. And Miss Evers is with her younger and with her son on Halloween trick-or-treating. And she's like, I have the worst costume ever. And you don't expect it to be this bad, but it's a literal white sheet with holes cut out for eyes. Like a cartoon ghost costume. Get the fuck out of here. And
yeah, it's really bad. And the kid's like, this sucks. And she's like, yeah, I bet it is, bellyache, bitch, boy, whatever.
Yeah. In some countries, they don't even have this, which is like, all right, that's ridiculous. But okay.
You get a paper bag with some holes. I'm like, nice Faust cosplay. that's good shit.
Yeah.
Would have been better than the sheet ghost, frankly.
To like, and they add insult to injury, they walk up to another lady and her kid, and that lady has like what I would describe as like a $1,500 Renfair costume, like an extremely elaborate Victorian lady outfit with like a powdered wig and everything, and like a petticoat and a corset. I'm like, well, yeah, in comparison, he's got literally the worst. Like, how dare you bring him up to this woman and her child who have spent thousands of dollars on their outfits, and you gave this poor boy a sheet. But that's not the end of this. I don't know what this child's name.
Unfortunately, right.
But that's not the end of his bad night.
I don't think he gets one. I was kind of looking at like the X-ray stuff, so I don't see like a name for him or anything. But like,
probably
ridiculously,
because, like you said,
because
this was based on a real thing that happened in history.
Yeah, I'm sure this part wasn't like, because this is real ridiculous that she's talking to this lady, their kids are there, it's broad daylight, and her son gets kidnapped, because then she looks over like, where did he go? And then all of a sudden, he's just in the backseat like, of this car.
Like, a guy dressed as a wizard, like, walks kind of over the kid, and is kind of like, hey, kid, help computer. Like, it's just like, hey, your costume sucks. You want a good wizard costume? I got one in the mech. Like, it's really dumb. And the kid's just like, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, all right. Which,
yeah. What kind of shitty mother is not only Miss Evers, but this lady she's talking to, who's like, not even like, I should have mentioned a couple minutes ago, but I think some guy just took your kid, you know? Like, what the fuck? But.
Yeah, I've literally had like a 17-year-old employee at the King Supers, like in the parking lot, let me know, hey, your car is rolling away because I hadn't like put the parking brake on properly.
Yeah.
Like, they were more diligent than this mother who is talking to another mother.
And then like
that
this
guy's gonna have a real scary Halloween. Good for him.
Well, then, and then like they're like, all right, that's enough flashback for you. And then we just go back to the present now. And then, this is crazy, John goes upstairs and knocks on the door because he's figuring the blood is leaking from the room above him, like he's in an apartment or something. Like, he's just going to be like, I'll handle this. Hey, you, what's going on in there? Like, what the f- you're in a hotel? Like, what are you talking about?
Make your floor stop bleeding. I'm going to get maintenance on this.
It's so ridiculous. And then... like, it kind of works, I guess. And then, like, because, like, then she, like, opens it and, like, oh, you know, whatever. Like,
oh,
yeah.
They also, when she's scrubbing the sheets, they do this effect that, like, doesn't look good, where she, like, pulls the sheet out of the water and it is white and clean. And then, like, blood just gets Photoshopped onto it. And then she, like, dunks it underwater again and is like, pulls it out and it's clean again, and then gets blood on it, and she's like, well, damn, good blood this season. Like, it's really stupid. Like, the fact that she just keeps scrubbing instead of being like, well, this is baloney.
And then, like, so she lets him in, and she's like, sorry, I go a little mad on Halloween every year on account of my missing boy, you know? Oh, yeah, and then, and Liz, as you point out, too, she tries to, like, hide the blood from him or whatever, even though she's all about that, because, yeah, that's her whole thing. Like, I
love
things.
She loves telling people about blood. Like, every random stranger that passes in the hallway at the hotel, she's like, so many blood stains in room 64. Like, she loves talking about blood.
Every time Mrs. Evers is on screen, we should be asking, hey, where's the blood, you know? But... And then this is so weird because, like, I think you're supposed to, like, trade stories here, like, because he's like, you're missing your boy. And she's like, why didn't I pay attention? And then he goes, I don't know. And we, the audience, get he's talking about his story, too. Like, I don't know why I was paying. But he doesn't say anything. So it just sounds kind of like, I don't know why you weren't paying attention, you idiot. Like, it's like you're living in a waking nightmare, he says. But again, it's not clear. Like, he's just being an asshole to her. Which is really funny when you think about it.
Yeah, it's like you fucked up constantly. You can't stop thinking about how much you fucked up. And it's like, hey, man, you should probably preface, I lost a boy as well.
And then it's like, it's funny because there's just this really awkward pause. And then she goes, you want a sherry? And like, he's like, nah. And she's like, all right, well, pour me one. And then to help this ridiculous scene, she goes, I know all about you, John Wick, whatever the hell your last name is. I forgot. You know, like, and I know you lost a kid, too. Don't worry, audience. It wasn't that weird, but it was. Let's be honest. And then, like. Then we get some more flashback because she tells a story about her son died. And this is also a real event, which is, what is it, the Wineville chicken coop murders?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and like it's like this thing where, yeah, this guy like kidnapped kids and put them in like a chicken coop and killed them. And it's this horrible thing. And I don't know why you want to put it in your Goosey Night, Cabbage Night, you know, episode of American Horror Story. But here we are. And they like show a little bit of these kids like in chicken coops looking out. And then you know, and you know, yeah, and as Liz points out, the chicken coops, at least the ones they show here, pretty easy to escape from, right? They're not like, you know, jails or anything, but...
Yeah, I don't like to say I would simply win to murder victims often, but as portrayed here...
Well, yeah, I'm pretty
sure... Like a little bit, yeah, I think I would get out of there.
Yeah, the problem is not that this didn't happen or that, like, nah, I'd win to, like, the kids who died. It's more that American Horror Story didn't bother, like, looking into, like, maybe some specifics of, like, oh, maybe it wasn't just, like, regular chicken coops with, like, thin-ass wire and no locks on the doors.
They put, like, a waist-high fence, and they're like, these kids are dead.
No one could escape this fortress. This is basically Alcatraz.
It's a tiny net. It's impossible to be free. Yeah. So yeah, for some reason, they reference this real thing that happened to steal gravitas or whatever, I guess. And then, yeah, John is such a piece of shit. After hearing all of this and, like, being like, yeah, my son was horribly murdered in a series of serial killer child murders. He's like, yeah, at least you know what happened to yours. It's like, dude.
not the time, John.
Leave the room, like, Jonathan.
Yeah, keep that shit to yourself, man. Like, it's cool. You can feel that way. I won't tell you not to, but, like, don't say it out loud.
Well, at least you know yours was child murdered. Oh, my God.
Think about how bad.
I just assume mine was child murdered, and I'm a detective, which makes me feel like I'm bad at my job.
Mine could still be alive. I have hope, maybe, you know? I mean, at least you got closure, right? And... and by the way, it's also awful because then in the flashback, this is like the cruelest thing almost, you know, because again, not real. This is their fictionalized version of a real horrific event. The cops are at the chicken coop. They've presumably found the whatever. This dad is there and his kid comes up and they hug. And then the cop walks up with this bloody sheet and he goes to Miss Evers like, this is all that we found of your son. They buried them all in a mass grave and threw lime on. We can't even sure who's it's who. Which, A, holy shit, what's the matter with you telling this grieving?
Hey, man, keep that to yourself. Yeah, there's a lot of keep that to yourself going around this episode.
Also, like, they have, like, a lot of the parents standing outside of the coop having their children, like, brought out to them. Why did you bring the parents of the kids you knew were dead? Why did you do that?
It's like the world's most awful lottery. Like, everybody show up at the murder site. We'll see whose kids are still alive, okay? Let's see. Get your tickets out.
Yeah, it has some, like, horrible bachelorette energy to me. Just like, you get a rose, fuck you.
Yeah, like, and they're doing this as they're freeing, like, the captive children, so, like, news of this had to have just broken. So, like, did they just, like, put out a bulletin that it was like, if you're missing a kid, and they went missing between this date and this date, show up to this address and see if they're in this chicken coop. Was, like, that the thing that they did? Because if so, damn. Holy shit.
Well, listen, we can't figure out who's who, so you come claim your kids here on Murder Day. And also, if they were all in this mass grave and everything, and they can't even tell who's who, how do they even know the bloody sheets from the kid, from her kid specifically?
The only missing child in California in 1925. Yeah,
we have to give her some kind of physical trauma to latch on to. Come on. How else is she going to be the maid who's into bloody sheets too much? Like, there needs to be something.
I kind of like...
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, I kind of would like to imagine that Miss Evers is telling John the story in the present, and then at that part he's like, wow, I'm really sorry about that closure thing I said earlier. That was fucked up. That was awful what happened to you. Jesus.
Oh, my God. Well, it is kind of funny that, like, it's not funny that they chose a real event to give Miss Evers, like, a backstory off of. What is funny is because they fictionalized her version of this and, like, her... like, association with it, they could have really made how her son got abducted be literally anything. And instead they're like, no, we're doubling down on that. If you look away from your child for 1 second, they will get abducted. They're like, we got to give her not only a missing son situation like our good friend John, but also make it that she only looked away for 1 second and the kid got yoinked.
Also, they, like, try to give her this weird, like, victim or this weird, like, blaming thing on herself where she's like, oh, if I had just made a better costume, you wouldn't have got yoinked. And it's like, no, based on how easy that was, that kid was getting yoinked one way or another.
Well, it's a stupid parallel, too, because I think they're trying to get at this. They don't know what they're doing is the problem, because it's all so short, because they're just like, real event, and that's it. It's like, they could have played it like, okay, maybe she's a single mother, the father's not around for some reason or another, or at least he's not here, and she was all wrecked, didn't have time to make the costume, and blames herself for somehow, even though it's not really her fault, like that angle. But instead, they just kind of make her shitty, like, yeah, well, I was too busy to make him a costume, and the kids need the opiate, or don't have, you know, they only have paper bags anyway. So it's like, now you are kind of a crappy mom, actually, you know. But like John was taking a phone call. I can't really blame him, but a little bit, kind of. They're not painting a great picture here.
He's like a detective who like needs to take phone calls because they might be like, "Hey, someone got murdered."
Yeah, exactly.
We need you.
Also, Miss Evers was in like 1925. They didn't have a cell phone they could blame for it because they really want it to be phone bad in John's case, but they couldn't make it phone bad for Miss Evers. So, you know what would have been a better. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. The very first thing that came to mind when I thought, hey, how could we tie this into Halloween and give Miss Evers a backstory about her kid getting abducted? How about she doesn't want to answer the door for all the trick-or-treaters and her son goes to the door because she also didn't want to take him trick-or-treating and he doesn't come back from opening the door for the trick-or-treaters because he got yoinked by some dude. Like, that would be, like, so easy.
Hey, you know what else would be easy? Like, not including a real-life murder spree involving kids, because it's so tangentially there, you could have made it anything. Like, why was this necessary?
It really is. The kid got yoinked, and it could have just been, he got yoinked. The end. And it would be, like, the same outcome as, like, he got yoinked. Also, the cops, like, fucked with me a bunch.
The cops were really mean to me. The cops made me do a bunch of weird party games to figure out if my son was the dead one.
You know your son's blood type?
Why? Does this look like a blood pattern your dead son would have left anyway?
This is Dexter, but the prequel.
Oh my god, it's because the sheet probably had the holes in it and it's the costume, I just realized.
That's so funny. Only one kid could have had a costume this dog shit.
I'm gonna kill you in your shitty costume just to really send a message.
We know that's not true, though. That's not true because we see a piss poor flashback of that little kid looking up all big and doe-eyed at the killer man like, please don't kill me, Mr. Big Killer Man. I'm not wearing a shirt for some reason and I'm in a chicken coop.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
So we know
I'm
going
to bury you in this sheet to send a message.
I don't feel so.
It was trash.
This will make your mom feel really shitty, like on top of it. Oh my god. And then she was probably like, if only I'd made him a better costume, because then she'd be less embarrassed with the cop. Like all the other parents, like, wow, you only dress up in a sheet? Jeez, no wonder you lost him.
Damn.
Look at father over the year there, get his son back. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So back to the present. After they've had their weird little, the writers want it to be a bonding scene, which is crazy, but that's how they want us to perceive it, I think. John just kind of is like, huh, what was I up here for anyway? Oh, well. And just, like, leaves, like, does not address the blood situation at all. Like, the door to the bathroom is wide open and directly next to the door. And, like, according to all forms of known geometry, he clearly looks at the bathroom, like, no less than three times. And is just like, I don't know.
His face is in the shot in the foreground. In the background, you see the bathroom. He just has to turn his head. He's a detective! He came looking for this!
He's not even drinking yet. Like, they'll later on be like, he started drinking. And then, like, that's the excuse. Is like, oh, he had a single beer, so he doesn't know anything. But, like, at this point, he's just stupid. Like, he's just bad at his job, I guess.
Yeah. They have, like, they have Miss Evers in the conversation between them, and she, like, kind of has this, like, little blustery, like, oh, good heavens, the autumnal banquet is tonight, and I have to get ready. There's very demanding guests. And she, like, scurries out of the room and leaves him in the room with the bloody sheet.
Yeah!
Refills, 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 and then walks out. Yeah.
I think, like, they want her, they're, like, trying to play her as being, like, a crazy lady from the 1920s who, like, lost her kid, but she, like, so much reads like an Alice in Wonderland character that, like, yeah, it is impossible absolutely to place her as being just like a crazy woman. Like, she's definitely heading to go talk to, like, the Red Queen or whatever, or, like, to, I don't know, see the rabbit go down the hole or something. Like, they made her very, like, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, there's a difference between someone who's, like, had emotional trauma and, like, struggles to deal with it, and someone who is completely detached from this plane of reality, and they really do have her slide into the second thing, which is not great. Not good writing.
It's also, like, it's a little late, too, because she's already, like, full-on into murder and serial killing with March. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little, like, we're not going to go into, sympathetic character here. Like, she helped him kill a lot of people already, but whatever. We're doing everything on this show, so anyway,
yeah,
sorry.
They do that, like, I think, like, once a season. They pick, like, one character where they're, like, this character is going to do some real heinous shit, but then we're going to explain away why you should think that they're okay because, like, something. Like, I think I would say for Freak Show is, like, Del. Like, they're like, yeah. Del's going to do some real heinous shit, but we're going to give him a backstory, question mark, question mark, question mark, that will make you be like, oh, it's okay that they did that, actually. It's not, and their backstory doesn't have anything to do with why they're that way, but it's fine. We think it's fine.
Now I understand your motivation. Yes.
Yeah. They were like, sympathetic villain, don't mind if we do. And they just did it wrong, like, every time. Ugh. We have time for, like, one more crazy thing to happen. We're about to kick off subplot number two.
Oh, man. This is so bad.
I'm so excited. All right. So Alex is home with Holden. You might ask, wait, when did Alex get Holden? When did she, like, take have him and bring him home? And, like, how did he react to this? And it was, like, just fine. And she didn't notice that her son she lost 5 years ago looks exactly the same, except, like, mullet more so. Like, it's just like, yeah.
She sees him in the hotel, right? Before you even factor in Disneyland, which makes this totally nonsense, so we won't even touch that. Like, she's in the hotel, she sees her son who's a vampire, and just leaves with him. Like, isn't he one of Lady Gaga's vampire kids? Like, how is there no problem with this? But I don't know, he's home now. Sure. And then she's like, I'm gonna give you a quick exam. Takes his temperature. It's 75.5, which is, like, hospital low, but she's like, I don't know.
Oh, no, that's not hospital low, brother. That's you died. Oh, you are already quite dead. Yeah, you are stone fucking dead at that point.
Well, I'm just saying, that, I don't care. Yeah.
Any medical person would have been like, I think she even says, she's like, huh, thermometer must be bad. But instead of, like, going and getting another thermometer, she's just like, oh, well. Which, wow, great medical work, dipshit.
No. Well, why would she have a second thermometer? Oh, right. Like, god damn it. Like,
she's a traveling doctor, right? She's a traveling pediatrician. That's, like, the one thing she would have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why I titled this specific scene in the notes is, oh, I love Pet Sematary, because, like, that's, like, a big crux of the movie Pet Sematary, is, like, a parent wildly overlooking all of the glaringly obvious, like, red flags that their child is the undead because they're, like, so lost to grief, that they're like, yeah, no, it's fine that he's, like, eating the cat or whatever. Like, that's, he's probably just a little hungry. Yeah, his, like, hand fell off, but, like, that's probably normal. I'm not gonna look too much into that until he eventually kills the next door neighbor.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, we probably shouldn't have resurrected our kid in the pet cemetery. That was bad, turns out.
Yeah. I mean, and then when Holden arrives too, they do the cursory, like, and you don't recognize, you remember your home? Oh, and here's a new dog. Anyway, and then Holden's like, I'm thirsty, which we know where that's going.
He says thirsty. Like, yeah. They have him say thirsty.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I hate that shit.
I'm thirsty. Yeah.
It's like so foreshadowed. It's insane. Like,
yeah.
They legitimately are like, okay, we're going to put the dog over here in the bathroom. So if I ever leave and come back and Holden's not here, he's probably eating the dog in the bathroom. Like, they just like really set it up in like kind of a tortured way. And he goes, I'm thirsty. And she goes, all right, I'll go get you juice, little lord. Little Lord Fauntleroy, one juice.
Yeah, I'm not
going
to bring you with me for whatever reason. I'm going to go get it separate from you, child that
I've
love
decided,
so much.
I've decided once again, I'm going to look away from my child for extended periods of time, even though that's like my whole trauma. I'm just going to like look in different places. And then, gets juice, has a little cry, because, like, there's, I don't know, something clearly wrong. And then, comes back and Holden is eating the dog. And she's just like, oh, shit. Don't do that. Oh, shit, man. You shouldn't do that.
I know. And, you know, like, I know she doesn't like John, but, like, just as a courtesy, give him a call. Like, hey. I found our missing dead son, like, on the drive home from the hotel, maybe. Like, hey, I know you're at this hotel, but I found our boy if you want to come meet him. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Parentheses, our other child wasn't lying, it turns out. Everything that our other kid said is 100% accurate, and we were kind of shitty to her for saying all of the things that are actually true. I'm going to do no follow-up on that. Fuck that other kid. We don't even know where she is right now. Fuck her.
Hopefully
Disneyland,
dead.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe she traded Scarlet for Holden. Just like, here, you know, just give me this one. You have this one, all right?
Yeah.
But
this one's blonde, too. Here you go.
So then we have, like, a cutaway to the police station where John is at his desk. And then even though, like, he's still working out of the hotel room, I don't know. And this other detective comes up and goes, you're right. That blood wasn't the junkies. I kind of forget where that was going, whatever.
It was the guy who like collapsed in the lobby when he showed up.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. So then and then John is like, hey, like, I'm trying to look this up, but I can't find. Have you heard of these Wineville murders? Now, this is wild because, again, it's a real thing, which comes up fine in Google if you look for it, just for the record. But John, I guess, mistyped it or something. And the detective knows immediately what he's talking about. Like, oh, Wineville. Yeah, you probably can't find anything because they changed the name of that town because of the bad publicity. What to do with the chicken coop murders and everything? And, you know, John's like, yeah, I know about the chicken coop murders. I talked to some lady about it, you know. And then he's like, okay. And then I don't remember if he says the name of the other town. But then John's Google works and he's like, and because the other guy's like, I think it was like 40, 50 years ago. And John's like, no, it was 85 years ago. Dun, dun, dun. Who cares? We're back to Alex and Holden now.
So this is like one of maybe the most, there is no way to explain this information other than ghosts that John will run into and will deny at the garden. He will simply say, no, I do not believe in ghosts,
Jonathan,
despite unbelievable, irrefutable, crushing proof of the contrary.
He expects Jonathan Frakes to show up and be like, we made it up. It was a falsehood. It didn't happen.
Like, yeah, there's limits, you know, so and like... There's so much teleportation already happening. Like,
he got a ghost hand job.
Well, this also.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, but you know what's weird? It's like, this is also two for two, right? Because didn't that happen also with March where, like, what's her face? Kathy Bates, Iris, like, sits him down with that whole story. And she's like, then it happened 50 years ago. Lightning strike, you know, or whatever. Like. They just keep doing it.
Well,
Jesus.
Yeah, but that part wasn't as weird because at that point, that wasn't even what the fuck John asked her about. John was like, hey, my kid was here and had a bad time. And Iris was like, let me tell you about a completely unrelated ghost who happens
oh, that's
to live
right,
in this
yeah.
hotel. And he's like, okay, I won't arrest you, I guess. None of their conversation had anything to do with anything. And honestly, if I was John, I would have just checked out, frankly. Literally and figuratively.
John Lowe, the absent-minded detective, where he keeps forgetting the point of things when he hears a side story.
Honestly, kind of, yeah.
One thing we forgot to mention. Holden, after like whining a little bit about the dog not being good to eat, not being good eaten, not being a choice cut. He's like, I'm going to go see my mommy. I don't remember who you are. Take me to my real mommy. Which, like, yeah, man, at some point you got to be like, all right, this ain't my kid no more. I even printed out another mama bird. I'll see you later. But she just decides, like, okay, and takes him back home, back to his kidnappers, and is like, I am going to continue not to call John. I have made a mental decision to explicitly not call John at this point.
Oh my God, it's so ridiculous. And he's at the hotel, and he's got a gun, and he's a cop, and everything. And girl, why would you ever bring him back? But
he was thirsty.
Yeah. And then yes, she sees so Iris.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to say, and then incredibly, she sees Iris, and in the next scene, Holden goes to lay in the glass coffin in the swimming pool, and the mother's there, like, yes, you can have my son back immediately, and you could put him in a glass coffin. This is all fine by me.
I think this is normal and, like, not supernatural. I think it's normal and fine. You know, and I think that you're just a normal lady who has a good reason to have my kid in a glass coffin. We get this, like, really weird, tense exchange between Lady Gaga and Alex, where Lady Gaga, frankly, has way too much faith that Alex isn't a crazy person. And Lady Gaga says some shit about, like, oh, I kidnapped your son because I was saving him because I saw he had a neglectful father who checks notes, looked at his phone for 35 milliseconds while his kid was on a carousel. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, this is how it happened. And I guess she explains how she stole Holden. And, like, the scene they show is, like, a bit. It has to be a bit. Because they show him look at his phone in the flashback that we've already seen. And in the background is Lady Gaga being the most conspicuous person I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, big anime main character energy from Lady Gaga in the background.
You cannot exaggerate this. It's like everything. It's like goth sunbather with that giant ugly hat and that you can see through her face. It's crazy.
Showing up with my Ultimicia type fit.
Yeah, real big, like, fighting game character energy. Referred to as
the sorceress. Yeah.
And neither John nor anyone else around saw this woman who looks like a goth fighting game character, like, recolor, stealing this baby and walking off into the sunset on the beach. Like, everyone's like, yeah, that's fine. She seems trustworthy. She seems trustworthy. And then Lady Gaga says something baffling to the effect of, let me put this in terms a doctor can understand. I gave him a vampire virus so he'll live forever, and there's no cure for it. I gave him a disease, an intransmute or a transmutable disease. Is that good? I think it is. Do you also want the disease so that you can hang out with your kid? And Alex is like, I have a gun. And she's just pointing the gun at the countess. And this conversation kind of goes nowhere. Again, Lady Gaga has way too much faith that Alex won't just fucking shoot her. But fortunately, Alex is like, I'm going to go get the cops. And then Tristan appears behind her and says, nothing personnel, kid. And then punches her in the face and knocks her to the ground. And then steps on her face, which feels a bit mean-spirited, Tristan.
Yeah.
And then Lady Gaga's like, you can just let her go. And then Alex skitters away. And then Tristan's like, well, what the fuck? She's gonna snitch on us. She just said she's gonna call the cops. And then Lady Gaga, again, having way too much faith in Alex, is like, she's not gonna tell the cops. She's not gonna risk her one true love. And then laugh track plays. And Tristan's like, are you banging her too? Bum, bum,
ba-dum. American Horror Story, ladies and gentlemen. Ridiculous.
Yeah, so, like, this is one of those scenes where they, like, want you to assume that the Countess is, like, ascended layer puppet master controlling everything, but it's like she saw Alex for like 2 minutes. That's just like insane. Like, she just has a virus that means she doesn't age. She can't like see the future.
They like try to imply that she like not only is like omnipotent, but also has like these like what other vampires and other media have very frequently, which is like the power of persuasion, like right. being able to persuade people. But she doesn't. She just kind of doesn't age.
That's what kills me. Like, they did this on hard mode. Like, it's right there. They could make her like a Dracula kind of character if they want by just making her more like a regular vampire. But they do this clear thing like, no, it's like a virus. She's like a regular person. Don't worry. But then they have her doing these like things where it's like, I'm sneaking away in a crazy outfit and I'm convincing people and I'm just sort of appearing behind you because I'm sneaky, you know? But it's like, just make her a fucking vampire. Why are you making your life so hard? But...
Yeah, that actually happens, like, we forgot to mention, but when Alex puts Holden in the glass coffin, it, like, pans back, and Lady Gaga's just, like, standing behind her, like, she's been there the whole time.
They do the thing where they move, like, she's a little in the foreground, they move the camera, and it's like, oh, she's there, you know, like an old NES game. And it's like, again, if she was a regular vampire, she could have just appeared, but instead it's just sort of like, Alex is not very observant as to what's going on, and, like, Lady Gaga's metal gearing down here so that she can do these scenes. Like,
credit where credit's due. If I was chasing my weird son who just ate a dog and he like was like, yum, glass casket time for me, I'd be pretty mentally mixed up at that point. I'd be like, I don't understand what's going on. I can't pay attention to anything. Why is my child getting in the glass coffin? Is this good? Like, there's light in here and it's a glass coffin, so it's like not a good sleeping vessel. I don't know why. Like, yeah, like... I gotta say, I fucking hate that. Just for the record, I fucking hate that they have like see-through coffins in a perfectly well-lit room. It's like, you don't have to make your vampires the Apple Store. You feel me? And it like really feels like they're like, yeah, we got the new model of Vampire Baby on display today. You want the 4 Plus? Great news. Like, it's dumb.
And it's in like the bottom of like an empty swimming pool. And it's like, is there a reason that the baby vampires have to be in a separate room in their coffins than like the Tetris wall room? Like, what's the reason they gotta be separated from their cool like, indoor room or like inner building room? Why do they have to be by the windows?
And Lady Gaga just sleeps in a big bed with her wife. Like, yeah. You know, like a big like normal bed. Like, why do they need to be in little coffins? Is that...
It's not even clear though what they're doing, because they also like drink this weird filter, or they get their blood drained, right? To make the decanter of blood that they like to drink, the other vampires. But what are the kids
eating? Even though you can't drink, allegedly can't drink from other vampires, and also you can't drink anything that isn't straight from a freshly alive person, and also you can't drink from anybody who's diseased, and as Lady Gaga just said, the vampires have a disease, they still do this thing where she's like, yeah, I need that primo shit that's been filtered through a baby, even though like there's no benefit. I really think what that was, because it really doesn't come into play, I don't think in a big way, I think what that is they're like, oh fuck, we were gonna like make her like an Elizabeth Bathory countess type deal. We even named her Elizabeth and the Countess, and we made her thing like rolling around in blood. What did Elizabeth Bathory do? Oh, she bathed in people's blood so she'd stay young forever. What can we do that's like kind of like that? Have her drink baby vampire blood? Okay, send it out.
I also love that because like, I feel like it also hedged the problem of, oh, she's just like a weird rich lady who wants to have kids but like can't for some reason. Like, there's nothing really inherent. Like, is kidnapping children bad? Yes, I take a hard stance on this, but like, she is just like raising weird forever kids, and like, it's not like a good thing to do, you know, but it's like fairly sympathetic in a way. Like, you could sell that as a character with like, children aren't Tamagotchi, stop doing this, you know, like that could be something. But they're like, oh no, we need to make it like there's like a bad reason she wants children. Like, it's not just like she wants to raise some kids, she's chugging jug off these little babies. Like, that's why it's bad.
Wouldn't it it also have made more sense to give her the I lost my kid too backstory, because then it's like kind of like, okay, here's why I'm trying to save kids, even though it makes no sense and I'm kidnapping them, you know, but whatever, I guess. I hate the show. Anyway.
Yeah.
So then we go back to John, who again knows nothing about his son being found. And he's downstairs at a bar with Liz Taylor, who's a bartender. And he's like, you know, my wife thinks I was never an alcoholic, just that I have control issues. So you know what? Give me a double martini. And Liz Taylor,
wow,
everyone could give you a shit about alcoholism, is just like, now we're talking. And by the way, you're in a nice hotel and they will give you a giant martini anyway. You don't need to specify double, which is wild, but whatever. And, you know, also, like, if he hasn't drank in this long, like, a sip of fucking gin's gonna do it. So, I don't know. But whatever. He's...
Also, like, I don't know. I've worked as a bartender at a couple different places. And if somebody at the beginning of the night told me they were, like, a recovering alcoholic who was, like, you know, multiple years out, and then they came up to the bar and said, hey, can I get a shot? I'd be like, very fucking funny. Do you want a ginger ale? Like,
yeah.
I would just be, yeah. Like, I don't know. This is, like, basic human compassion. Like, hey, I have a problem. And if I'm around this stuff too much, it causes me to do really bad shit. And I've made a very conscious, strong decision to put myself away from it. And like, yeah, you don't just be like, great, you want to relapse?
And,
like, that's not what an asshole.
And if you even want to play like Liz Taylor's a monster, kind of, you know, whatever, like, and she's not, as we'll learn later, but like, if you want to play that angle up, if you're a bartender, hey, you know who are not great customers? Complete fucking drunks who might, like, wreck your bar or fuck with the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a good idea for many reasons, even if you are heartless and shitty or whatever. Like, you know, or even whatever. It's great to show.
I think the approach they've taken to John's alcoholism is quite funny. Not in a way that they probably intended, but they're like, yeah, this is a season that's all about addiction, but this guy's addiction, pussy shit. Make everybody extremely antagonistic towards him and tell him that he doesn't have a real addiction and that he should get better at having an addiction. He should alcohol at max.
Right. It's not like heroin where you'll get, you know, a demon will have sex with you with a drill. Come on. It's just a drink, fucker. You pussy. Like, what the hell?
They're all so into everybody. Iris, Liz Taylor, his wife. Everybody is so antagonistic towards John. Like they think he's faking being an alcoholic for attention or something.
It is fucking insane to have somebody who walks up to people and goes, oh, yeah, I used to be an alcoholic. I am now, like, recovering. You know, I suffered from alcoholism. And everyone's default response is, no, you fucking didn't. Like, why? Why is that? Why is everyone just being like, no, you didn't. You didn't get deep enough into drinking, pussy. Like, what?
Especially his wife, who, like, presumably has seen, like, some of the, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, you were really, like, a bad drunk, but you're probably fine. You just have control problems. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, you mean an alcoholic cop hitting his wife? Yeah, man, sounds statistically likely. And so, like, yeah, the idea that she's just like, wasn't drunk enough, IMO. Yeah.
Also, like, scalding hot take, you don't have to be, like, deep in the trenches of alcoholism to decide you want to be sober. Like, you can just choose that you want to be sober, even if you just casually have a drink every so often. You don't have to, like, go to AA.
Yeah, I have a friend who, like, took one hit of a blunt, was like, I feel weird and bad, and has just never touched it since. Like, that, you could just do that.
Absolutely. But...
Yeah. It goes downhill so quickly from here. Like, bad. So bad. You have no idea how bad it is, listener.
We have not scratched the surface of this horrible episode.
This was the good part.
This was the part before we introduce, like, multiple real-life serial killers. And, like, in an absolutely incredible twist, there's, like, maybe one serial killer, quote-unquote, that, like, is pretty sympathetic by nature and, like, could be played that way and have, like, depth and character like that. They go out of their way to just drag that through the dirt as fucking hard as they can.
So
holy
weird.
Shit.
Yeah. Like, it's not just that they take the really bad serial killers and are like, this is like a funny Midwestern charming dad. They also take the ones that are like fine and they're like, actually, she was the worst. And she was like super fucking slutty and thought it was cool.
Did it what for a the bitch, love of the right, game, guys? Baby.
Why don't you be more like Richard Ramirez, you whore? Like, come on. Like, Jesus Christ.
And then they made Richard Ramirez slutty in season whatever.
9, yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, that's the opening half of Devil's Night. And I gotta be honest, that is where, like, most of the story beats have happened. The next part is wild. you're gonna want to listen. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely crazy, all the things they have people say and do and imply, both for the history of this show in the past and going forward, and just the way that we have a detective who truly is just like, but I don't believe in Santa Claus. Like, as Santa Claus is sitting on his face, like, it's outrageous. Oh, well, see you next time when Santa Claus sits on the detective's face. Yep. I'll catch you around.
Bye. Later.